Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
Hello, welcome to News Fighters for today. It's Thursday, August 15th, 2019. I'm your host, Dylan Bain. Welcome to the very first medicated episode of News Fighters. Apologies in advance to your ears as I'm fighting a sore throat. A jam-packed episode coming up later, and I interview comedian Greta Lee Jackson about the state of satire in Australia on the one-year anniversary of the axing of the show we both worked on together, Tonightly with Tom Ballard. But first up, the tragic events that unfolded in Sydney on Tuesday.
Tonight, terror comes to the heart of Sydney, a violent stabbing rampage.
Yes, a horrible, tragic situation. We do not want to make light of the violence or the victims, especially while this is still being investigated. However, you really do have to hand it to the bystanders who restrained the attacker in this horrible event.
He was taken down by brave bystanders following an alarming chase through city streets.
Police have praised the heroism of a group of men who brought down a man with a knife following a stabbing in Sydney CBD. They used chairs and a milk crate to restrain him on the corner of Clarence and King Streets.
And you've got to hand it to them for doing what all Aussies do in any stressful situation like this. They yell obscenities.
Piece of shit, you dog! Piece of shit.
Yeah, listening to all that swearing, I couldn't tell if they were yelling at a violent potential terrorist or they were just at a footy game.
Henry! You're a fucking wanker! You fat bastard! You're shit!
I mean, this is the kind of language I normally expect from The Bachelor.
Disrespectful pig and dog. See you next Tuesday.
And despite there being very little information about the attacker, Alan Jones knows what's to blame.
In our day, we went to the movies to watch Bing Crosby and Doris Day. Now you go to the movies to watch violence.
Yes, no violence at all in Doris Day's most acclaimed movie, The Man Who Knew Too Much, a movie about political assassination. Alan Jones also has an issue with paintings these days for some reason.
For hundreds of years, the great artists of the world imitated life. There was a paddock with cows grazing on it, and the great English artist Constable gloriously depicted that. Margaret Ollie, the remarkable Australian artist, and her bowls of fruit, art imitating life. Well, today, shooting and killing and stabbing and murdering are called film art.
Yeah, Tarantino, put down the film camera and paint a bowl of fruit. It's what the world needs. And of course, being Sky News, it's all an excuse to take away our civil liberties.
Nonetheless, it's the nature of free society that we can't arrest people on the presumption that they may be about to do harm. No one can be arrested on the presumption that in 2 hours' time, they might like to murder me.
And thank God for that, or every viewer who saw the Q&A episode you were on would be in jail. Moving on, and the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong aren't letting up.
Clashes have intensified between police and protesters at Hong Kong Airport, causing all flights to be cancelled for a second day. That has left thousands of travellers, including many Australians, stranded.
Yes, and now let's check in with those Australians who are universally known for being patient and courteous while travelling abroad.
I know they have their problems, but we need to get on and do our our flights and our life.
We're legally here, we're lawfully here, you're stopping us illegally.
We've got no more money left, we're buggered.
They're doing their protest in the wrong place. They're hurting innocent travellers like me, the elderly, little babies. Are laying up there, they can't sleep, they can't get a feed.
Yes, and the single worst part of being in a once-in-a-lifetime democracy protest is the fact you can't get a $30 airport hamburger. It's the worst. But it was this South African traveller who had the most blindly oblivious take.
There's a good and a bad to both protesters and there's a good and a bad to police. And I just wish both sides would just stop. Like, I understand what they're fighting for and I appreciate what everybody's fighting for, but this is not what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to be fighting together, not against each other.
Yeah, you guys, you should be fighting together. Not against each other. I mean, she should know. She's from South Africa. We all remember what got rid of apartheid in South Africa. It was when the ANC and the governing National Party fought together, not against each other. And that's how Nelson Mandela became president. Okay, back home now, and the government's press freedom inquiry is on this week, and Australia's news media organisations are fronting up to speak out in favour of greater protections for journalists and whistleblowers.
Often, powers are introduced under the guise of protecting national security, but in fact have a much broader operation.
A culture aimed to gag the media and provide disincentives to us uncovering wrongs, which merely embarrass or offend public officials.
We may not be living in a police state, but we are living in a state of secrecy.
Not a police state? This guy clearly hasn't been to an Aussie music festival in 20 years. Yes, but don't worry about freedom of the press, says Liberal MP Trent Zimmerman.
What I'd say is that for me, press freedom is pretty tantamount to a successful democracy. Obviously, journalists don't have a complete blank check in terms of what they write, and we have defamation laws and laws that relate to court proceedings and also national security.
Yeah, of course you've got a free press, except when you can't write about those things or we'll raid your house and throw you in jail. Yes, even everyday people are starting to feel alarmed about the increasing feeling of a lack of press freedom in Australia. Like this viewer on Q&A.
Can a country which has no Bill of Rights or Anti-Corruption Commission, where the federal police raid media offices and a journalist's home, and the government prosecutes whistleblowers, where public servants cannot even anonymously criticise government policy, where freedom of information requests are expensive, often delayed, denied, or redacted, and with minimal parliamentary sitting days, be considered a modern liberal democracy? Or would it be better described as an authoritarian state?
Liberal Infrastructure Minister Alan Tudge responded by basically saying, how good's Australia?
I would encourage her to speak to some people who have come from authoritarian states and escaped those places and come to Australia and been able to have all the freedom and prosperity that you get in Australia.
Yeah, lady, we're better than most places. We give our imprisoned whistleblowers tax cuts. Yeah, anyways, that response from Alan Tudge reminded me of an answer I heard on Vladimir Putin's annual call-in TV show this year. It's kind of like Russia's answer to Q&A, but it's way better in that it's only on once a year. Anyway, someone Skyped in and asked Putin about his new fake news law, which basically makes disrespecting the state illegal. And he asked whether you could still be critical of the government and authorities online.
So where is the border between criticism and offensive speech?
And Putin's response was this.
The law does not refer to the criticism of power, no. The law is against any disrespect of the symbols of states. Take European countries, take Germany, you would end up in jail for several years.
Yeah, so Putin basically said, how good is Russia? We're not as bad as Germany. So maybe Australia needs to stop with the whataboutism when it comes to our completely unenshrined human rights. There'll always be countries with more freedom of the press than Australia, and there'll always be countries with less freedom of the press than Australia. But if we want to be a truly great democracy, we should be aiming to be the most transparent one there is. Otherwise, all our news from Fairfax to Four Corners is just going to sound like breakfast television.
Today we're honouring the world's largest and most intelligent mammal on World Elephant Day. Because today is International Cat Day.
A mum let her five-year-old son pick the groceries during their weekly shop.
Residents of a town in China got quite a shock when a runaway ostrich suddenly appeared on their streets.
To the debate on social media over how long to leave a tea bag in the cup. See, this is a very English topic as well.
Okay, and that brings me up to my brand new fake unscripted segment, Between the Pods. So while we're talking about media freedoms and stuff, I used to work on the ABC comedy TV show Tonightly with Tom Ballard that got axed a year ago this week. Yeah, it was pretty much the only comedy TV show to face political interference from sitting members of parliament since Bob Hawke crashed Con the Fruiterer's fruit shop on The Comedy Company. For those of you who don't remember, Tonightly was a controversial and often fearless nightly comedy show that wasn't afraid to ruffle feathers, point out hypocrisy, and use the C-word. Prime Minister Scott Morrison wasn't a fan.
Oh, look, the ABC can be numpties every now and then.
And coincidentally, its axing a year ago is also the main reason I'm doing this podcast. Got to feed my wacky clips addiction somehow. So to reflect on its legacy and the state of satire in Australia since its axing, and also to fill up half an episode really easily, I sat down with Tonightly correspondent Greta Lee Jackson backstage at Irrational Fear.
Okay, I'm backstage at a wonderful Irrational Fear with Greta Lee Jackson, and we're talking about the... it's a year this week since Tonightly was axed, both worked on. Yeah, since they announced the axing.
I didn't realise that.
Yes, so, 1 year on, how's your year been? What have you been up to since Tonightly finished?
I had 6 months off, and, like, off full-time work, and two of those months were kind of rough. Like, I was really not doing much, and it was very confronting. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those really irritating type A persons that just has to go, 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 go. And when I'm not going all the time, it's just so, yeah, confronting, like I said. So I did a lot of soul searching in those months and, like, read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, like a fucking typical type A. And learnt that I shouldn't associate what I do with who I am and link, you know, your happiness to your career, all that sort of stuff. So that was really enlightening.
Sounds impossible.
Sounds impossible for what we do.
For what we do, for our industry.
Incredibly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But important. So I really tried to do that. And then now, you know, back on the trolley, working full time with, you know, ex-Tonightly people.
So, yeah, and I had a similar thing where the phone stopped ringing. It makes you wonder what happened to satire in this country.
Yeah.
Did you feel that? Do you feel like with the election and with Tonightly getting axed that satire's kind of dead now?
I don't know.
Or the ABC is not... It feels like they're scared of holding the government to account,
possibly. And I did raise that on the project.
Yes.
I did say that. And of course, that wasn't the reason, but I did make it sound like that was the reason.
Well, the narrative from the ABC has tried to be about ratings, but we actually rated very well with young people on social media, and it has the ABC.
Social media was great.
I know, but it feels like maybe the ABC's turned its back on young people a little bit. I don't know.
I just think there's a failure to embrace where television's going.
Exactly.
With getting rid of Michelle Guthrie, who really did understand digital. Mm. She understood it completely. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, if you're just a content creator at that base level at the ABC, you come up against roadblock after roadblock after roadblock just to make your content. Oh, sorry, just trying to make some TV at the TV station. Imagine being the CEO and trying to implement your digital strategy to bring the ABC up to speed with the Netflix age.
And that was the catchphrase I joked around on the ABC, and I said it a lot because it felt true. It was a good thing we're not trying to make a television show.
Yeah. But it was so fun. Like, I just...
Well, it wouldn't lie. It did feel like they'd let the lunatics loose. Like, we were allowed to do whatever we want, which was great.
More or less. Yeah. By the end, yeah, we were sort of just set free. But it was just so fun. Like, I think I wanted to do a supercut of the amount of times I've said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Like, you find yourself going, what are we doing? This is ridiculous, but so much fun. And I really didn't grieve properly. Because it was the first time I was in a job that I really felt I could be myself. I could 100% be myself. And this was the first time I felt completely 100% accepted and encouraged. And that just went. And it was like, yeah, devastating. Caused me physical health problems.
Favourite Tonightly memories?
Oh, there was just so many I loved. Oh, the deconstructed cafe. So stupid. And really demanding. And we did that in a day. In a day. Like, high-end cooking shots for a sketch and shot cut. Well, written shot cut in a day. Incredible.
It's crazy. And it's weird going back to other projects now where people will spend more time arguing over a 3-minute sketch than you would spend making one.
People will spend more time. People will spend more time arguing over a 2 second shot in a 30 second ad.
Yeah, you know, and I think tonightly we cut through the bullshit. We're just like, we're gonna make comedy today. We'll walk in at 9:30, we got nothing. At 7:30 that night we'd have half an hour of comedy. It was ridiculous.
Gotta make a fucking decision. Make a fucking decision. These wankers in advertising, sorry. But they're like, just make a fucking decision. Like, just make the thing and stop being so scared. That's the state of Australian media. Everyone's so scared to take a risk.
Yes.
They're so scared to back the underdog, to put something out there that's risky. They just want to go safe. You know, that's the problem. It's diluted, safe, homogenized bullshit.
All right, plug everything.
I'll just go to my Facebook page. I recently passed 4,000 likes.
There you go.
That was real fun.
And you're still doing your podcast?
I'm still doing my podcast. Second season of Fail. My podcast is about failure. It's called Fail with Gredley Jackson on Podcast One. That will be coming out in October. And yeah, I'm on the feed. And when I got an online sketch comedy show coming out September, which is called Nice Shorts with some ex-Tonightly people.
Thanks, Greta.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, that's it for News Fighters for this episode. It was presented and written by me, Dylan Bain, with thanks to my interviewee, Greta Lee Jackson. Anyways, we've got some exciting news on the horizon I can't talk about just yet, but stay subscribed, stay tuned, tell your friends, write us an iTunes review, and keep fighting, and bye for now.
This is News Fighters,
where we fight the news
so you don't have to.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.